Chapter 4. Chicago has a bitchin' morgue. You can't call it a morgue anymore because it's the Forensic Institute now. It isn't run by a coroner either, because now it's a medical examiner. It's on West Harrison Street, which is located in a fairly swanky industrial park, mostly specializing in various biotech industries. It's pretty. There are wide green lawns, carefully kept and trimmed, complete with sculpted trees and bushes, a fantastic view of the city's skyline, and quick access to the freeway. It's upscale, sure, but it's also very quiet. Despite the gorgeous landscaping and the more antiseptic naming scheme, it's where they bring the dead to be poked and prodded. I park the Blue Beetle in the visitors' parking lot of the complex next door. The morgue had more than average security, and I didn't want to advertise my presence. I grabbed my bribe from the back seat and headed for the front door of the office of the medical examiner. I knocked, flashing my little laminated card I got from the police that makes me look like an official police-like person. The door buzzed, and I went in, nodding to a comfortably heavy-set security guard reading a magazine behind a nondescript desk to one side of the entry area. "Phil?" I said.
"Evening, Dresden," he said. "Official?"
I held up the wooden box packed with McAnally's microbrew.
"Unofficial." "Hosanna," drawled Phil. "I like unofficial better."
He put his feet back up on the desk and opened up his magazine again. I left the beer on the floor next to the desk where it would be out of sight from the door.
"How come I never heard of this bar?"
"Just a local tavern," I said. I didn't add that caters to the supernatural community and doesn't exactly try to attract the attention of locals.
"I'll have to get you to take me by sometime."
"Sure," I said. "Is he here?"
"Back in the slabs," he said, reaching down for one of the ales.
Phil opened the lid with a thumb and took a swig, eyes on his magazine again.
"Ah," he said, his tone philosophical. "You know, if anyone had come through that door, I'd tell him to get his ass going before someone drives up or something."
"Gone," I said, and hurried back into the hallways behind the entry area. There were several slabs, examination rooms, in the morgue. That is, the Forensic Institute. But I knew that the guy I was looking for would be in the smallest, crummiest room, the one farthest away from the entrance. Waldo Butters. Other than having the extreme misfortune of being born to parents with little to no ability to bestow a manly name upon their son, had also been cursed with a sense of honesty, a measure of integrity, and enough moral courage to make him act on them. When he'd examined the corpses of a bunch of things I'd burned mostly to briquettes, he'd pronounced them human-like but definitely non-human in his report. It was a fair enough description of the remains of a bunch of bat-like Red Court vampires, but since everyone knew that there were no such things as human-like non-humans, and the remains were obviously human corpses that had been horribly twisted by intense heat, Butters wound up sitting in a psych ward for 90 days for observation. After that, he had been forced to wage a legal battle just to keep his job. His superiors didn't want him around, and they handed him the worst parts of the job they could come up with. But Butters stuck it out. He mostly worked the overnight shift and weekends. It had the happy side effect of producing an M.E. who regarded the establishment with the same sort of cheerful disrespect I myself occasionally indulged in, which was damned handy when, for example, one needed a bullet removed from one's arm without intruding upon the law enforcement community's busy schedule. The doctor was in. I heard polka music oompaing cheerfully through the hall as I approached the room, but the music was off somehow. Butters normally played his polka records and CDs loud, and I'd gotten used to hearing the elite performers of the polka universe. Whoever he was playing now sounded admirably energetic, but lumpy and uneven. There were odd jerks and breaks in the music, though the whole of it somehow managed to hang on the rhythm of a single bass drum. On the whole, it made the music happy, lively, and somehow misshapen. I opened the door and regarded the source of the Quasimodo polka. Butters was a little guy, maybe 5'3" in his shoes, maybe 120 pounds soaking wet.
He was dressed in blue hospital scrubs and hiking boots. He had a shock of wiry black hair that gave him a perpetual look of surprise that stopped just short of being a perpetual look of recent electrocution. He was wearing Tom Cruise sunglasses and had transformed himself into Polkastein. A bass drum was strapped to his back, and a couple of wires ran to his ankles from a pair of beaters mounted on a frame. The drum beat in time to stomps of his feet. A small but genuine tuba hung from his slender shoulders, and there were more strings attached to his elbows, which moved back and forth in time to the and pa, respectively. He held an accordion in his hands, strapped to the harness on his chest. A clarinet had been clamped to the accordion so that the end was near his mouth, and there was, I swear to God, a cymbal on a frame held to his head. Butters marched in place, red-faced, sweating, and beaming as he thumped and oompawed and blared accordion music. I just stood there, staring, because while I have seen a lot of weird things, I had never seen that. Butters wrapped up the polka and energetically banged his head against the tuba, producing a deafening clash from the cymbal. The motion brought me into his peripheral vision, and he jumped in surprise. The motion overbalanced him, and he fell amidst a clatter of cymbal, a honk of tuba, a fitful stutter of drum, and then lay on the floor while his accordion wheezed out. "Butters," I said.
"Harry," he panted from the pile of polka. "Cool pants."
"I can see you're busy."
He missed the sarcasm.
"Heck yeah. Gotta get set. Oktoberfest Battle of the Bands tomorrow night."
"I thought you weren't going to enter after last year."
"Ha," Butters said, sneering defiantly. "I'm not going to let the Jolly Rogers laugh at me like that. I mean, come on. Five guys named Roger. How much polka can be in their souls?"
"I have no freaking clue," I answered, truthfully. Butters flashed me a grin.
"I'll get them this year."